life-changing messages a year, probably more like 104, and used to preach 156. I keep tapering down because I find that even though I'm preaching all these life-changing messages, nobody's life changes. So I've been preaching now about 3 weeks on relationships, and some of you hadn't done a thing about it. So there's got to be a better way. There's a way of activating the saints of God to do what God is saying for the church to do. I know it's not through preaching. I don't know what to do, but I do know that there's a better way. So I want to encourage you to do relationships, because that's what God is saying to us right now, to develop your relationships and have friends. Call somebody. You know, spend time on the phone. Just do something. Hear the voice of the Lord. I want to share this with you quickly. I got to spend a couple hours with Dr. Cash this week. We had a wonderful time. We sat, we talked, we shared, we ate. It was a wonderful time. I asked him if I could share about our time, and he said yes, just don't make a big deal out of it. Dr. Cash is now going down to a Messianic Jewish church down in Marietta, and he's very happy. He feels that this is God's will for his life, and that's what we prayed for him, was that he would get in God's will. That's what we wanted to do. Coming here would be wonderful, but if that's God's will for him, then that's what we want, right? Amen. So we talked and we shared, and I'm going to try to quote best I can from what he said to me, that had I not dismissed him, and I tried to correct that thinking, but had I not dismissed him, then he would never have gotten free to go and do what he feels like God's purpose is for his life. So, you know, we talked about that dismissing thing. I tried to share that's not what it was, and we talked about that, but I wanted to quote you pretty much what he said. But he's very happy. He says that Myra is going with him down there and that she's very happy. And I said, praise God, because that's been our prayer. So I just wanted to share that with you. And he's trying to get a Messianic Jewish church started in Chattanooga. He has a real burden. If you know Dr. Cash, then you know that he's always had a burden for the Jew. He likes the Jew. And so I just wanted to share that with you so that you would know. Felt like the loose ends were tied up, and that I found out that our relationship was more than superficial. I was concerned a little bit about it, but I found out that we do have a good relationship. That he loves me, I love him. I thanked him for all that he had ever done for our work here, for my family, and just appreciated. Told him I loved him, and he said he knew that. Told him to come and see us whenever he wanted to, and he says, well, I will. And he said, but I don't think it'd be a good idea if I'm just in and out every week. But I said, well, you come whenever you want to. And I said, you'll be greeted at the door with hugs and kisses. And he says, I know it will be. So at any rate, I just wanted to share that with you. So Dr. Cash is doing well. Amen? Amen. So, sometimes relationships hurt. But to maintain relationships, sometimes you have to hurt. Amen? Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Once we come to the place of understanding that relationships are not temporary, how many of you know that the relationship that you have with me, and the relationship that I have with you, and the relationship that we have with each other are for life? Think about it now. When you understand that the relationship that you develop with people is for life, it seems to do something with the way you think about relationships. Does it? And if you know you're only going to know me for a little while, then you won't develop that relationship. You really won't care too much about it. You won't work at it. But if you know that relationship is for life, then you will see that relationship as something very important and crucial in your life, and then we will work at it. Relationships that we're talking about are for life. Now, I want to just give you the word of the Lord, and then we're going to pray for people for whatever their needs may be. We're going to receive the giving. But I just felt like, because we were singing this song, that I want to be more like you, I just wanted to use that as the springboard into what I heard in my spirit this morning. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, I'll begin reading out of the King James, and then I'm going to get into the NASV. But Ephesians 4, 8 says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, what did he give to men? Gifts. So there are gifts. And then Ephesians chapters 4, verses 9 and 10 are parenthetical. In other words, it was an interjected thought. It was sort of out of context because it's talking about his first he descended before he ascended. But then he picks up his thought again back in verse 11, and he's talking here about what these gifts are. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, the thing that I want to emphasize today is that he has given these gift ministries, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And if you're churched, then you probably heard the term fivefold ministry. This is fivefold ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Gift ministries that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the church. Now, I want to destroy and come against, I guess, first of all, because you may be thinking, because you've been church, that's not for today. That was for them. Well, if you'll look though with me before I do go on, at verse 13, if you have a King James Bible, it says till. If you have another translation, it says until. So how long did he give apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers? Until. Say until. Until. You see, we've got to come into a mentality that these guys are still around. Now, the reason I'm going to hit it and then I'm going to go back and capitalize on it, but the reason that he gave them was for the perfecting, or your scripture may say the equipping of the saints. Do you see that there in verse 12? The reason that he gave them was for the equipping or the perfecting. And that word perfecting, I'm going to show you what it really means. But it means to bring into maturity. But what he's saying here is that he gave them for the perfecting of the saints until, and you look at verse 13, you'll see what it's the until we all come into the measure of the stature of the fullness that belongs unto Christ Jesus. Now, how many of you have come unto the measure of the stature of the fullness that belongs unto Christ Jesus? I don't see any hands. How many believe that the church world, anybody in the church world, has come to the measure and the stature and the fullness that belongs unto Christ Jesus? Okay, so what that then tells me is there's something wrong with this passage, right? This scripture must be wrong. Huh? No, the scripture's not wrong. Well, then what must be wrong? I would think that we were wrong. The Word of God is infallible. So there must be something wrong with the way that we're thinking here. Now, I'm not wanting to preach another life-changing message where nobody's life changes, okay? I want this to get into us. I want us to see something here and begin to adjust our thinking. Listen, we have these gift ministries to change our lives. Now, if he says that he's given them, are they here? Are they available? So I don't find that the problem then is in the gift or the gift or the givee, giver, but also the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, those that want to come and give their gift. I don't think that's the problem. So then what I believe I can prove in Scripture is the problem is those that should be receiving the gift. Those that should be being equipped. Us. If he gave the gift until he perfects us, are the gifts available? So there's nothing wrong with the gift. So then where must the problem be? It must be in us that we won't receive the gift. Now what am I saying? Okay. Let me just use this one and then I'm going to get into the word studies and all this stuff. Let's use Billy Graham. How many of us know who Billy Graham is? Everybody in here, if you don't know, you will know. But if you don't know, it's just because you're too young. But everybody knows who Billy Graham is. Now, what is Billy Graham's gift? Would you say that he's an evangelist? Now, if he's a biblical evangelist, two things will be happening into his life. One is he will be equipped with evangelism where he can go out and evangelize. Does he do that? But the main purpose for his existence would not be to go out and evangelize. But what would it be if he was a biblical evangelist? To equip you and me to go and evangelize. But what is he doing? Is he equipping or is he going out and doing it? You see what I'm saying? What should he be doing? He should be equipping us with those gifts. Now, it's not his fault. I believe he would do that. It's the church's fault because we don't understand that that's what he's supposed to do. I mean, what if you had 5 million Billy Grahams running around? Not only evangelizing, but equipping people to evangelize. and the 5 million reproduce themselves into 20 million, and the 20 million reproduce themselves into 50 trillion. It wouldn't be long, you see. But the problem is that we've got this thing where it's either not for today, or that we don't understand that when these people come in, we want to sit on our rumps and listen to them and never change. And not draw from them and get everything and drain them dry until they have to leave again. And when people come in here, what we've got to learn to do, folk, is just to get what they've got. Say, God, don't let them go until I get it. Let me spend every minute that I can with this person. They've got a gift, and I want it. Some of you may remember when Graham was here, and he was leading us through the communion service that we were going to have that night. And he walked up to me, and he was sharing with me. He says, Delbert, he says, I love you. I love your laugh. I love your joy. I love your excitement. I love the thousands of questions that you ask. Man, I wanted what he had. You see, equip me, Graham. Fill me up. Don't go until I get... I was driving up to the airport, and I said, man, I only got you about 2 more hours. I said, I'm going to ask you 1,000 more questions. I said, I'm going to get all I can get out of you. But what we want them to do, here's the mentality. Scott and Kathy Webster is going to be here next Sunday. And the majority of us are coming and wanting to get a word. Nothing's wrong with wanting to get a word. But what should we want to get? The word or the gift? Is there a different mentality here that you're hearing? You've got to hear this, folk. Yeah, Scott, I need a word, but man, what I want is I want you to equip me so that I can go prophesy. You hear me now? So the problem is not in the gift. If he gave the gift, we've got the gift. So where the problem must be is not in the giftor or the gift, but in the giftee, or the one that wants to get the gift. The gift should be coming to. How would you say that? Recipient. I want to do giftor and giftee. But it's in the recipient. It's in us. Now, this word perfecting, or if you have equipping, how many want to be more like him now? Now, this is what it's going to take. We're perfecting or equipping. If you look it up into the Greek, you'll find out that the word means to complete furnishing. It means to pick us up where we're at and complete the furnishing. We've all got something, but what these apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers do is they come in and they complete the furnishing. They go on with the place that we're at and they give us more. Tracing it down into a root, it means to complete thoroughly, to complete the furnishing. And then it means fresh and complete. See, the things of God are new every morning. When a new one comes in, he should pick up from where the last one left off and give something more fresh. The manna should be new. The manna that was in the tabernacle, it was new every morning. You see, they made it on Saturdays and it was replenished once a week, but it was new every morning. They had a new loaf every morning. We need new freshness. Do you understand? So what we're talking about here is he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers so that he can fill us up, so that he can equip us, so that we can go out and be what he is, so that we can do what verse 13 says, is that we can come unto the measure and the stature and the fullness that belongs unto Jesus Christ. Can you hear that? And we won't never do it until we understand that when gift ministries come in, folks, we don't sit on our rump. We ask questions. We draw from them. We get all we can from them. You with me now? We've got to change our thinking and our mentality. Just like right now, you're sitting there. Some of you may have a question. You ought to have your hand up. I ought to be stopping and acknowledging your question. What do you got? What do you want to know? Me and Steve Lyle was talking about that today. We got this mentality where we can't talk in church. You can talk here. You can ask questions here. I want to get into a thing where I don't care who's ministering or who's preaching, but I'll tell them, listen, you may have some hands to go up. Somebody may want to ask you a question. I want to release us to do that because I want us to be equipped. My goodness, we've been preached to for how many of you have been saved 10 years? You got 10 years of preaching in you. That ought to get it done. We got to, you know, there's just a different way of thinking that I want us to get today. That when ministries come through, that we're not sitting on our rumps, but we're drawing from that ministry. We'll look at some different translations. It's Living Bible. It says, it is that God's people will be equipped to do better work for Him, building up the church, the body of Christ to a position of strength and maturity. The NIV Bible says to prepare God's people for work of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. The Phillips Modern English says, His gifts were made that Christians might be properly equipped for their service, that the whole body might be built up. The Revised Standard says, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. What the whole thought is, and no matter what translation that you want to look at, is that the gifts were given to equip us to go and do the work of the ministry. And if we're not receiving this, then what we really do is remain babies. It's so that we can come into maturity. We can come to the measure and the stature of the fullness that belongs unto Christ. Now, if you'll look further on with me, I want to emphasize just a few more thoughts here. And that's it. If you'll look at verse 14, let's read 13 and 14. Until we all come unto the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, that word there means mature, it's teleos, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth, now, why are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers given to equip us? That, if your Bible, if you have an NAS Bible, it says as a result, and if you have an NIV Bible, it says then. In other words, what he's saying here is that apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, or teachers were given so that we can get a result, so that then, so that from henceforth, so that once ministries come in, something can happen in us. Something can change in us. Something will change in the way that we are and what we are. What does it say there? What is verse 14 say? Hence, therefore, or hence, or as a result of, or then, what? That we'll be no longer what? What? So in other words, what that's telling me, that if I don't understand apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, and teaching ministries, and I don't draw from them and allow them to equip me, I remain a child in Christ. Is that what your Bible says? So what I'm saying here is the reason that the church stays immature, that we stay in our little dollhouse here, that we won't go out and minister to people, the reason that the world has not been evangelized, the reason that is because we're so busy being children, fighting with one another, remaining children, that we won't allow the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher to come and equip us to go and do the work of the ministry. So we stay children, and we're tossed about with what? Every wind of doctrine. How many doctrines are in the body of Christ? My goodness. Why? Because we won't be equipped by apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Tossed to and fro. Staying babies. Now, the body of Christ is not growing up. I don't know. Do you understand what I'm trying to project to you? Most of us, like I just said, we've been being preached through 10 years, and very little maturity has happened in our life in those 10 years. So there's a better way of doing it. There's an equipping that must happen. There is this ministry that must come forth and equip our lives to go and do the work of the ministry. Preaching is not getting done. Let me say it again. What we call preaching, this isn't biblical preaching. What we call preaching is not getting it done. Preaching is actually demonstrating the gospel of Jesus Christ. What about healing people, casting out devils? That's what biblical preaching is. What about preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Spitting and yelling, that's not preaching. That's not biblical preaching. That's what we call preaching. But what we're doing is not doing it. How many is ready to do something that will do it? Now look at this, what's going to happen once this happens. Henceforth, or therefore, or as a result of, or whatever, starting at verse 14. Verse 14, once we receive this ministry, once we allow it to equip us, as a result, we no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, speaking the truth in love has got to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but being equipped. But speaking the truth in love, we are to what? Grow up. Grow thereby. Do you see that this is going to require to grow and to mature, to come to where we can go out and minister to people? It's going to require the ministries to come in and to equip us. We've got to change from our thinking of sitting on our rump to give me what you've got. Let me draw from you. Let me receive from you. Help me, fill me, fill me up Let me get what you've got. Now, tell me the truth. Across the whole world today, what is happening right now? It's about 11, it's about 30 more minutes, about 20 more minutes for sure. But what is happening all across the world today? Are they being equipped? Are they sitting on the rumps and just listening again? What are we doing? Are we being equipped? Or are we just sitting on our rumps and listening again? Come on, I'm really wanting to challenge your thinking. Is it just another Sunday? Just a little country church on the edge of town? Boop, boop, and doo-doo-boop. Are we really wanting to get what God's got for us to do what He's called us to do? Really? I want a total change. I don't know what that means. But I know that what I'm doing ain't doing it. And so we're going to change some things. I don't know what we're going to change. But we're going to have ministry coming in, not for a blessing, but for an equipping. Yes, God, Kathy's going to be here. They're going to bless some of us. Some of you have never had a word of prophecy over your life. I want you to have one. I really do. I think it's imperative. I think it's very important to understand the purposes of God in your life, to understand the power of the prophetic. But what most of you need is not another word. My goodness, I don't need another word. I don't know if I'll ever be able to get done all I've got on me now. What I need is the equipping of the ministry. What you need, what most of you need, you know what you're supposed to be doing. You don't need nobody to tell you what you're supposed to be doing. You need to be equipped so you can go do it. Am I right? How do you do that? I don't know. We don't know. Nobody knows. But we're going to find out. Is it okay? Someone tell Scott and Kathy, they come next week, hey, listen. Equip us. He said, what do you mean? I don't know. Just do it. You're supposed to do it. Is that what it says? You're supposed to know how. You're the gift. We just know you're supposed to do it. I told them you're supposed to do it, so come do it. They have seminars. We're going to start having more of those types of things, equipping things. We're going to have things where the emphasis is going to be equipping. Now, what does that really mean? It means that if I'm equipped, if somebody's going to equip me to do something, then I've got to do it. All right? I'm going to make you a mechanic. Church, I'm going to make you a mechanic. Judge, I'm going to make you a mechanic. Make Judge a mechanic, that way I won't have to work on his cars, you see. Judge, make you a mechanic. Now, if all I do is show you how to do it, will you ever become a mechanic? Probably not. But if I stand there and watch you do it, and I see you hooking up the wrong wire or turning the bolt backwards or something, if I see you doing something wrong, and I say, no, don't do it that way, do it this way, then am I equipping you then? You see, the fear that you have and that most of us have is that we don't want nobody to tell us that we're doing it wrong. We're afraid they'll laugh at us or we'll make a fool of ourselves. Well, better here than there. This is the equipping ground. And what we need to do is come to a mentality where stand here, watch me do it until I get it right. Let me try it. Let me try to prophesy over somebody to see if I got it. If I know if the Spirit of God is showing me correctly how to do it. Let me do it, and you stand here and watch me do it until I get it right. That's equipping. As long as you watch me do it, you'll never do it. But if I equip you to do it, that means that I have given it to you, I have taught you how to do it, and now you can go and do it. Am I right? So what it's got to include, a part of it, what this really means to be equipped of the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, is that they teach us how to do it. And the way they teach us how to do it is by giving us a test. How many went to school? How did the teachers always find out that if you knew it or not? By test. So they give us a test to see if we got it, if we can do it. Now that's a different way of thinking, am I right? How many of you are really comfortable right there in those padded cushion chairs? Don't mess with me. I like to come in here and sit on my rump and not do nothing. Just come in and let me fulfill my moral obligation, because all I want to stay all my life is a baby in Christ, and I don't want to do nothing. And so we got a lost loved ones going to hell. Come on! Talking to Galen this morning. Daddy's going through some things. Pardon? He's going through some things. And so she said, I'm mad at the devil. I said, you can be mad at the devil if you want to. But you really need to be mad at the church. The church has let him do this. Cirrhosis of the liver and kidneys messed up and all this stuff. Nobody's ministered to the man. We are not equipped to go and deliver him. And so we've all got loved ones. They're going to bust hell wide open because we don't want to grow in Jesus. Read the rest of it. You'll find there that the body begins to fitly join itself together. Joints supply the needs. The body grows thereby. This one does what it's supposed to do. This one does what it's supposed to do. The body becomes what the body's supposed to be, which is the measure and the stature and the fullness that belongs unto Jesus Christ. Therefore, we can go out of here. We can be salt. We can be light. We can touch lives. We come in here, we practice, we scrimmage, and well, we ought to. Praise God. But folks, the Holy Ghost was not given so that we can practice on each other. Somebody tell me what the Holy Ghost was given for, Acts 1:8. So you can go out and be witnesses with the power of God in your life. Go back to Jerusalem, wait for the Holy Ghost to come. He'll endue you with power. And then you go out to Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, and be witnesses unto me. That's not so we can talk real well. It's so that we can go lay hands on people and heal them. It's so that we can go forth with the power of God, apostolic, prophetic ministries, evangelistic ministries, teaching ministries, pastoral ministries, that we can love people, shepherd people, care for people. We got this crazy mixed up doctrine of devil that says the Holy Ghost is gone with the speaking of tongues and you're not supposed to talk in tongues today. Why? Where does it say that at? Show me. The Bible doesn't say it ever left. My goodness, it was a gift. And the Holy Ghost isn't so we can talk in tongues. Hear me right. Pentecost, the Holy Ghost, you get to talk in tongues. Baptist, Holy Ghost, you get to go to heaven. The Holy Ghost that Jesus says, I'll give you power so you can go out and do what I do and witness to people. You know, I'm telling you the truth. And I think I'm just preaching another message, a life-changing message, when nobody's life changes. I'm frustrated about that. I really am. Because I don't know what to do. If I knew what to do, I could fix it. You know, never been this way before. I just know it ain't working. What we're about to do is going to work. How many want to be equipped? Let me see your hands. Now, you just patronizing me or you're really serious, man? You really want, the next time we have a ministry coming in here, you're going to draw from him or her. You're going to get all you can possibly get before that ministry gets out of here. You're going to ask questions. You're going to draw. You're going to say, put hands on me, impart to me. Let me do it until I get it right. Before you go, let me prophesy. Let me evangelize. Let me heal somebody. Let me do it. That's what I'm talking about. How many want that now? And you're going to do it. Lost some hands. I knew it. And you'll never grow. The way you grow in God is by doing it. That's right. Amen. You with me? You love me? Is that the word of God? Amen. Give a hand to the Lord. Hand to the Lord. Tell you what, let's pray for people. Let's practice some. And let the Holy Ghost come forth. And then we'll do the thing. Okay, you need healing today. You need ministering. You want to. Your body, Betty, come on up, Betty. Betty's got some problems in her kidneys.
That people have become very accustomed to the predictability of their church. And this one man was laughing about being in this church. It wasn't funny, but it was a frustrated laugh. That they were singing, "Take Time to Be Holy," and they could only sing verses 1 and 4. That they hadn't bothered to do that. And perhaps part of the problem was that the reason the church corporately couldn't take time to be holy was because individually they weren't taking time to be holy during the week. And that if you come to church and you're empty and you get equipped to do all these things, you're like a little puppet. And what I was thinking about when Deborah was sharing that was like the little hard-shelled bugs, you know, when they die, they still look like the bug on the outside. But if you step on them, there's nothing but air inside. And we can still look like we are functioning spirit-filled Christians. But if we're not full of what the Lord has for us to know, if we haven't taken time to be holy, if we haven't spent time in His Word, if we haven't listened to Him, then it's going to be real hard for us to function. I went to a seminar this week that's really blessed me, and one of the things that the man who was teaching the seminar kept saying over and over that really has ministered to me is, it's not how we function that determines who we are, it's who we are that determines how we function. And I think long before we get here, we need to spend an awful lot of time in the Word of the Lord and really searching our own hearts. And then Sunday morning will be a breeze. One of the things that he said that ministered to me also yesterday was that the worst thing you can call this place right here is the sanctuary, because our sanctuary is in the Lord. Our sanctuary is in Jesus Christ. This needs to be an infirmary. It doesn't ever need to be a hospital for sick people. It needs to be an infirmary where we get patched up. And more warfare needs to be done right here than anywhere else. So So I just really felt real strongly that I need to share that. That's something that the Lord has really ministered to me this week, that I need to be ready when I get here. And we all need to do that. We don't just need to come and get ready to be equipped.
Amen. That's one reason that when we do have praise and worship, man, dive in. I mean, you know, sometimes I'll come in and believe it or not, sometimes she and I do fuss. I mean, every once in a while, maybe every... And when we come, we're not all, but we dive in, we ask the Lord to forgive us, we get into praise and worship, we bind those things up with fetters of iron, we take those noblemen and bind them in fetters of chains, and we take authority, and it's our privilege to execute judgment on that thing that is trying to keep us from ministering to you. And you need to do that too. And you know, we got to come into a mentality of changing. You know, don't sit there and listen. Let's do it. Amen. Let's equip ourselves. Let's get equipped. Amen. How many preaching messages you think you've had, Steve? That's all right. See, I know when I'm telling you the truth, and I know that we have not equipped the saints, because I can ask you one question and let you know that we have not received the ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers by simply asking you one question. What are you equipped? Are you equipped to go and do the work of the ministry? And what would you say? Oh, I'm afraid to. Well, I haven't equipped you. I preached to you. Have I preached? Have I preached good messages? Really good ones. That's why you come here. You like the way I preach. I mean, that's pretty much it, right? You like me. And, I mean, it's obvious. People don't like me. Don't come here. And so you come, and I preach to you, but nothing ever changes. It's time we change. Okay, let's receive y'all.